We have so many reasons to rejoice. Our sins are forgiven. Our greatest need has been met through the blood of the Lamb, through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. We will no longer be separated from Him forever. We can be united. When He died, the veil was torn in two. For that reason, we can rejoice. We can rejoice today. We can rejoice tomorrow. We can rejoice the entire year, no matter what happens, because our sins are forgiven through Christ. So I was thinking through this prayer service, and I was preparing kind of how it would go through, and thank you, Jonathan. He was a huge help. I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we take time this morning before we even start to pray as a family to go through Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Why there? Well, that is because our Lord and our Savior says, hey, this is how you should pray. He's not talking about, hey, recite these words verse for verse, just do that. But here's the principles that I want you to apply when you pray. The passage before that, just before that, he's talking about ways that you shouldn't pray. But I thought today, let's go through kind of what is the Lord telling us in this passage? What is this model prayer for us? You know, perhaps no part of Scripture is more well-known than this. It's very familiar wherever Christianity is found. So let me read Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And this is the word of our Lord. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When you look through this, it's so easy. I was born and raised Catholic. I could recite this without even thinking. I could talk this and say it over and over and over. And you could pray this prayer without even thinking about what is the Lord saying to us here. And so as we devote ourselves to prayer, our community, our church, praising God, our missionaries, I thought, let's dig through this model prayer and let's glean from what he's talking about. Well, the prayer actually consists of 10 parts or 10 sentences. And it starts off with a declaration of who we are praying to. There are three prayers respecting his name, his kingdom, and his will. And then there's a section four prayers respecting our daily wants, our sins, our weaknesses, and our dangers. There's one profession, feelings towards others, but in all of these parts, we're taught to say we and our. We are to remember others as ourselves in addition to ourselves as we pray. So let's dig a little bit deeper, and let's start off. The first verse sentence declares to whom we are to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus highlights who we should be praying to. We're not to be praying to saints and angels, but to the everlasting Father, the Lord of heaven and earth. We call him our Father as he is the creator. Paul said in Acts 17, 28, in him we live, move, and have being. We are also his offspring. He created everything. He is the initiator. He made the heavens and the earth. He is the creator. But believers, we can also call him Father because we are adopted by God through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. When you are a believer, when you have realized you are separated from God and you have given your life to Christ and you say, you know what, I believe and I understand that Jesus died because being sinful, I've separated myself completely from God, and there's nothing I could do to atone it. Jesus came and did that, paid the price through the blood on the cross. When we give our lives to Christ and start living for him and accept that atoning work in our lives, he becomes our heavenly Father because we're his sons and daughters through adoption. In 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Let that sink in. The creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord God our Father says, "I will adopt you." All the junk, no matter how bad you did, no matter what you have done, is never bad enough. You're never, "My son paid it all." No matter who you are, you could be my son and daughter through Christ. That's amazing. And we profess that which the Old Testament saints only saw dimly and far off, we profess to be his children by faith in Christ. And the spirit of adoption, we cry, "Abba, Father." It's a personal relationship. That's who we're praying to. Jesus is saying, "Our Father is in heaven. Hallowed." And then we go to the next section, which is, "Hallowed be your name." By the name of God, we mean there's attributes that he has revealed to us. His power, his wisdom, his holiness, his justice, his mercy, his truth. By asking that they may be hallowed, we mean that may the name of God be glorified. Not my name, not Whitneyville's name, not your name, but the name of God be glorified. It is an object of Jesus' own prayers. In John 12:28, he said, "Father, glorify thy name." It's the purpose for which the world was created. It is why we are called and converted, the chief thing we should seek. In God, all things may be glorified, 1 Peter 4:11. So when we pray, let's remember, who are we glorifying here? We're praying our Heavenly Father, and we're asking for his name to be glorified. And then the third sentence is a petition concerning God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Well, first of all, you have the kingdom of grace, which God sets up and maintains in the hearts of believers by his Spirit and his word. But secondly, the kingdom of glory that one day will be set up. When Jesus shall come the second time, and all shall know him from the least to the greatest, Hebrews 8:11. This is the time when sin, pain, sorrow, and Satan shall be cast out of the world. It is a time where Jews shall be converted, the fullness of the Gentiles shall come in, Romans 11:25, and a time that is above all things that desired. It is therefore fills a foremost place in the Lord's Prayer. We ask that his kingdom come, maybe today. Wouldn't that be wonderful? May his kingdom come. May he come back and set up his reign. The fourth sentence is a petition concerning God's will. And this one's hard for me. Thy will done on earth as it is in heaven. See, here's what sin does. It causes us to place ourselves in the center of our own worlds and make life all about us. We hate it if we're not healthy. I hate it when I'm not healthy. Who likes pain and suffering? We want our lives to be predictable and easy. Isn't it easy to get frustrated when you have a plan for the day, the agenda for the day? I am the king of my day, and this is how it's going to go, and then all of a sudden it's going this way. Dude, isn't that easy for us to be frustrated and angry? We don't want obstacles in our way or suffering in our path. Because we cannot control any of these things, it becomes easy to be regularly unhappy with life, and sadly, it could lead to unhappy with God, because we can easily seek our will instead of his. And here in this section, Jesus is leading us to pray for God's will and not our own. Our truest happiness is when we submit to God's will, allowing him to guide our lives. We should pray that everyone should know God's will, obey it, and submit to it. I mean, Jesus was our example. If we read Philippians 2:5-11, Jesus was our example of obeying God's will, not his. Having this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And we always can remember the time that he was in the garden when he prayed, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. When we pray, may our attitude, our hearts be, may your will be done, Lord. Obviously, we can bring our petitions, we can ask from God and say, here, God, here's what I would like, here's what I'm asking for. But are we willing to stand and pray and say, you know what, no matter what, may your will be done, not mine. In the fifth sentence, it's a request asking for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And this is something that is easily forgotten in America. Here we're taught to acknowledge our entire dependence on to God for the supply of our daily necessities. The reason I say it's easy in America to forget this is when you travel to Kenya, when you travel to Haiti, where you don't know where you're going to get your food sometimes. It's therefore on the forefront of your mind to pray and ask God to give us your daily needs. But if we don't have food, we can go to McDonald's, we can go to Burger King, we can go to the grocery store. Those ways that we can actually have our daily necessities met for us very easy here in America or in others. But Jesus says, don't forget. Whatever you do daily, you need to rely upon God for your daily necessities. We need to confess that we're poor, weak, we're wanting creatures, and ask our Heavenly Father to take care of us, that we rely on Him. We ask for bread as our simplest form of our wants and include everything that our bodies require. He says, don't forget to pray that God take care of you today, but also pray for to forgive our debts. You know what? Before Christ, we were dominated. We were mastered by our sinful nature. But Jesus still says, hey, you need to daily seek from God pardon and forgiveness when you go awry. When I pick on my daughter, Lilla, and I get mad at her and I yell at her, which never happens, Lilla, because you're an angel. I love you. But when I do something like that, or I treat my wife where I'm thinking of myself and I'm just being mean to my wife, or whatever the case may be, I'm acting outside of my nature, which is should be submitted to Christ and the gospel. When I go left when I should go right because I'm following some selfishness, some fleshly desire that's ruling in my heart in that moment, which it shouldn't be, I need to be seeking the Lord's forgiveness and prayer. We need to have a continual habit of confession at the throne of grace, continual habit of seeking mercy and forgiveness. We need to daily repent and seek God. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, we ask our Father to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The object here is to remind us that we must not expect our prayers of forgiveness to be heard if we pray with malice and spite in our heart toward others. How can we seek forgiveness from our Heavenly Father when we are unwilling to forgive someone else of something less? I would challenge each of us, has anybody sinned to us to an amount that's equal to what we have done to God? To pray in such a frame of mind is just a formality and hypocrisy. Our prayers are nothing without kindness and tolerance for what others have done for us. And I would challenge us to all remember the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. How can we expect to be forgiven if we are unwilling to forgive one another? We have been forgiven of a massive, unsurmountable debt. The smaller debts that others have to us should be forgiven as well. The eighth sentence is a petition respecting our weakness. Lead us not in temptation. Teaches that we're liable at all times to be led astray, to fall. It instructs us to confess our infirmity, plead with God to hold us up and not allow us to run into sin. We ask Him, who orders all things in heaven and earth, to restrain us from going into which it would injure our souls, to suffer us, and never to suffer us to be tempted above what we can bear. We have the Holy Spirit residing in us, who's guiding us. May the Holy Spirit be such a dominant force in our lives that day to day we are listening to his voice and following his call, so that we're not being led away by foolish, selfish desires that could rest in our hearts from time to time, but seeking Christ. It takes the Lord's power to preserve us, and we should be asking him daily to help us. By asking him, helping us through this as well, it'll help resist the temptation of pride. If you think you are able to withstand temptation on your own authority, and you could say, look what I've done, immediately you're in the essence of pride, because you're looking at your own power, your own authority, versus what God has done in your hearts. The ninth sentence is a petition respecting our dangers. Deliver us from evil. We're taught here to ask God, deliver us evil that is in the world, the evil that could be even in our own hearts, let alone the evil one who is the devil. We confess that so long as we're in the body, we're constantly seeing, hearing, and feeling the presence of evil in this world. It's around us in every side. We ask our Heavenly Father, who can alone preserve us, to be continually delivering us from its power. Jesus prayed this prayer as well in John 17:15. He said, I ask that you not take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. There is evil in the world. We need our Lord to protect us daily. May this be a guide on how we pray throughout the year. May God be glorified in our prayers. May God be glorified in our daily walk every day, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. May we glorify God in all that we do. May his kingdom come. May his kingdom come. Please, Lord Jesus, come. May his will be done in our lives, even when we want something else. May we depend on him for our daily needs. May we be forgiven, but also help us to forgive others. And may our Lord lead us from temptation and deliver from evil. I thought it would be helpful. Let's just read the verses again. It's on the screen here. We can read it out loud. And maybe as we read it through, we don't have to rush through it, but think through again, what is Jesus saying? What is the model he's saying here? And may that refresh our minds and get our minds prepared as we prepare for our prayer service. So the verse is, this is right out of Matthew 6:9-13. Let's read it. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let me pray for the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for Whitneyville Bible. I thank you for everyone here. But Lord, I thank you for who you are. Lord, we always praise you for what you have done. You have saved us. You have created us. But Lord, you are holy. Lord, you are truth. You are omniscient. You know all things. Your wisdom. Lord, may we glorify you in our lives this year. And may your kingdom come, Lord. Lord Jesus, please come. Do not wait, but we would pray that the Lord would come. We also ask for your will to be done in our lives. Lord, this is so easy for us to forget or to step aside. But Lord, may we bend our will to yours. Take care of us daily, Lord. May our hearts be realized that we need you for our daily substance. We need you for our daily needs. We need you each and every day. Forgive us, Lord, for there are times when we do wrong. Lord, even though it's not our character, we are made new in Christ. We can act out of character by following selfish desires. Forgive us when we do that. But also, Lord, help us to be forgivers. You set the example of that. You set the example of that by emptying of yourself and forgiving us when we have done insurmountable things to you. So help us to be forgivers. Lord, lead us not in temptation. Keep us, preserve us, Lord, through this work of the Holy Spirit, and deliver us from the evil one, Lord. There is evil out there, and deliver us from him. Help us now to worship you, to pray to you in spirit and truth. And this I pray, amen. Heavenly Father, you are worthy to be praised. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you that we can rest. As Dave said, we know that you are in control and we don't have to fear because we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. Lord, may we rest in you, but Lord, may your name be glorified in our lives. May we be image bearers for you, Lord, reflecting your glory, your holiness in a dying world. For we know that you are holy, you are pure, you are true, you are love, you are light, you are creator, you are redeemer, you are God. And we thank you for who you are. May that rest in our hearts and our minds throughout this coming year. Amen. As we transition to the next session, as we pray for our church and one another, Myron will come on up.
Okay, we have Galatians 6:2, which says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And as a church, I think that's what we need to do. We're in here to, as a group together, to help bear each other's burdens. We can help each other along. And as I thought about Mike asking me to lead this in this section, I started thinking of what things in the church, you know, go on and that we use to help each other or work together. And I kind of made a whole list on a sheet of paper, and it almost fills the whole page. And I just want to list them off because sometimes you may not think of all those things that go on, and I may even have forgotten, missed some of the things, but here's some of them that I've come up with. It says the prayer and care groups and the leaders that would run that. You have WANA. You have Sunshine Room, Growing Room. You have music, sound, video. All those things take place. You know, there's elders in the church. There's deacons. We have men's and women's Bible studies. There's the needle threaders, which do different crafts and things to help send to missionaries that they can use to help them in their ministry. You have the Young at Heart, a group of older people that still young at heart, though, that they can fellowship together and do things. You have the youth group. You have the college and career age. You have different ministries as the communications, the people doing aesthetics of the church, make sure that it looks welcoming as a church. We have congregational care, which tries to help in some of the needs of those that are in the church. We have safety and security. We have building maintenance and the cleaning. And many times the building and maintenance, a lot of people, guys, come in and help do things that we don't even know about, but they're constantly there taking care of those things. And we have missionary committee. We have those who work in the office. We have kitchen workers. There's funerals and dinners and stuff. They're always busy in the kitchen making things ready. We have those like in the library that take care of the books and videos and stuff that's in there. And another way that we can be involved as well is through our offerings and our tithes. So there's a few listing of things that I've come up with. But what I was thinking of as well when I was thinking about it is I've kind of used a phrase that I've adopted in my life, and it comes from actually Colossians 1:10. And the phrase is, "Walk worthy of the life that you have in Christ." There's just so much that we have that we can be thankful for. And then why should we do that? And then I've used Romans 14, 10 through 12, but in essence this says that we will each be able, that we're going to have to give an account of ourselves to God. So as we get involved in the church, there's all these things that we can do, and so we need to pray that we would be involved in the church. As Mike had mentioned, there's different needs that are in the church that we can fill in, so be prayerful about those things and see if that you might be able to help in some way. Let's go to Lord in prayer now. Father, we pray that you might help us to focus on you, focus on your worthiness, your awesomeness, your holiness that you are. And because of that, our desire is to serve you. We just pray that you might help us to do that. We think of this past year, how you've blessed us in different areas and allowed us as a church to be united. We pray for our spiritual growth. Pray that we might not sit stagnant, but we will continue to try to grow spiritually, try to become more like you in the things we do and the activities that take place. Lord, we also pray that you would lead us as we begin to search for a new pastor, that you would help direct us as we move along. In the next couple weeks, we'll hear more about the process of what's going on and what will happen. But Lord, we each need to participate, give our input, and help direct those that will be on the search committee, that they might go out and search and we'll find that person that you have for us. Lord, we think of those in the church as well that have many needs, not only health needs and struggles, but spiritual and physical and just mental things that as we see needs and hear of needs, that we maybe come alongside somebody and just give them the support that they need. Pray that they might be able to feel your presence and knowing that you are faithful. Maybe we don't understand what's all going on and don't know why. But, Lord, you have the big picture, you know. So we just pray that we would depend upon you. We just pray for different opportunities that are available, that we might be able to serve you, and by doing that, might be able to help this church as a community, a group of people, and we're part of the whole Church of God and the world, and even reaching out like places in Kenya or wherever through our missionaries that we are spreading the gospel, spreading your word. We just pray that we will be willing to help out in areas of need. We also think, Lord, of as a group, we can be involved in with our giving, that we might be able to help this church be a church in the community that would be a testimony of you and for you. So, Lord, we just pray for each and every one of us that we will focus on you and we will serve you. We just pray for this in your precious name. Amen.
We are known in this community as Whitneyville Bible Church. We're a local expression of your greater church. We ask that you would teach us, Lord, to humbly walk with you, the spirit of reverence. Would you give us a spirit that's ready to obey you? As we look full into your wonderful face, would you test our thoughts and our attitudes and make them compliant with what you desire for us to be and to think and to do. As we grow in our understanding of your word, and as we walk with the Spirit, would you renew our minds? Would you sanctify our imaginations to begin to grasp the great intentions and plans that you have for us as individuals and collectively as a church family? Would you give us faith to walk humbly with you each day? And we ask that you'd be glorified in this church family as it is built up and strengthened by your will and by your power. And Lord, all throughout this church family, there are great needs. Each one of us could stand and share great needs that we have in our families, in our situations, maybe at work, other things that are concerns to us. But we bring them all to you. I think of the Johnsons, and I just pray that you'd continue to be with Amy. And would you bring healing to her body, Lord? And would you strengthen her? And I pray that you'd give her and her medical team a path to some measure of wellness as she learns to manage her MS. And Lord, we think of those this last year who have lost loved ones. Think of Darlene and going through this holiday season and facing the prospect of a new year without her husband. Would you give her strength to carry on, and would you give her courage to face the day? Lord, there's so many other requests that we could share, but we lift them all up to your great throne of grace. It's in your name we pray.
Father, I thank you for our family here at Whitneyville. I thank you for the growth that each of us has experienced in becoming more like you. And yet we also recognize that we're still on the journey. We haven't arrived yet. We still need to be more like you. And so I pray, Lord, that we would have the attitude of John the Baptist, who said that he, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, may increase and I must decrease. So I pray, Lord, that we would have that attitude, that our lives need to be more about you and less about us. I pray for unity, Lord. We recognize our differences, and yet because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there can be unity. We recognize, Lord, that we all have preferences. We have dislikes and likes. And I pray, Lord, that despite maybe even our disagreements, that we can still think of others more than ourselves, that we are more interested in the needs of others than what we want, and that you and your kids and this lost world is very important to you. So help us, Lord, to see this church, to see this world like you do. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for Whitneyville Bible. Thank you for this gathering of individuals who are sanctified, are holy, set apart because of the blood of Christ in our lives. I thank you for the work that we're doing amongst ourselves. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to unconditionally love God and one another, that we would just truly just love one another unconditionally and love you with all hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength, Lord. Help us to be a healthy church and a blessed community. May Whitneyville Bible be a light of Christ to a dying world. Lord, we have so many needs that we need. We depend on you for our daily substance. We depend on you because we have a lot of issues, a lot of issues that we need your help with, Lord. I pray that in your providence, you would guide us, you would lead us, you would provide for us here in this coming year. Amen. Carpenter to lead us in prayers for our community, our country, and especially the lost around us.
We do need Christ, do we not?
Amen.
Seems to be that that's when we come to prayer. When we need something, then we go to Christ. And all he wants is for us to be in communion with him. He doesn't need us, but he desires us to be with him. I found this to be a worthy task as Mike asked me to pray for community. And we really do have a great community as we compare it to the rest of the world. Then the world, well, we could be here for a week, maybe longer. And he added the lost on top of that. So let's use this opportunity, and sometimes that's what we need. We need an opportunity or a reason to come before the Lord. And I feel that some of you are a little shy, a little bashful about that, but let's use this as our opportunity to commune with our Lord and spend a little time with him today. I've been asked to read this. Amazing, they gave me the longest verse, too. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you. We thank you for this community that you have blessed us with. It is in your strength, love, and grace that we can share your love and faith with those around us. We pray that all those here revolve around that love of Christ. We pray for continued guidance of those like our teachers, our families, our rulers, and those that make up this community, that make this community work. We ask that you destroy those that would obstruct that love. We want you to love, we want here to love God and love others. We pray for the lost as we go. Give us boldness to share. Prepare us to give clear presentations for the opportunities that you bring our way. We pray for prepared hearts. Make them spiritually thirsty. Open their hearts to receive the word. Help each of us to be salt and light at the right time. Lift the veil from their hearts so that they can know the truth. We are praying for transformed lives. And Lord, as we pray for our nation, a nation that is divided, cruel, angry, confused, and lost. You and your followers are under attack like never before. Those of us who love you, welcome the persecution, for those who truly love you will stand. We pray that truth and justice will prevail over political correctness and tolerance, both in our lives and in our community. Morality cannot be changed by legality. Lord, we are confused by the direction of this country. We pray that you might unite your people, using them to bring restoration to this broken culture. Those of us who have been reconciled to you have been put on a mission as agents of reconciliation. As we go, Lord, we pray, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal this land.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Father, that is our plea as we just sang, Lord, I need you for every moment of every day. Father, we need your strength. We need your courage to stand for what is right, for what is written in your word. Father, we pray for those who are in leadership, starting with the President of the United States and on down to our local leaders. Father, might they echo that same request that they need you. Father, we pray that you grant them wisdom, that they use your word as the guide of their minds and hearts. Father, we need you. Every moment. Father, we need you in this country. We need you in this community. We need you in our hearts. Father, give us the ability to love those who are lost. Father, help us not to keep this great gift to ourselves, to share that with those around us. Father, we praise, we honor, we glorify your name. Amen.
Lord, I just pray for our country this year, this coming year of an election year. And God, it just brings such division. And I just pray that instead you'll unite us, but Lord, that you'll unite us in a way to glorify you. And Lord, I pray that your glory be known this next year, that people will rise up, a generation will rise up, the Lord, that will want to glorify you. And I just pray that for our community. I pray it for our country. I pray it for our world.
Heavenly Father, we pray for our world leaders. Lord, that the men and women that have been placed in power, Lord, that if they don't know you, that they would get the gospel message sent to them, presented to them, Lord, and that you would draw them to you, and they would bend their knees, they would bend their lives, yield their lives over to you, Lord. For those who are in leadership that are true Christians, true believers, that have been saved, Lord, I pray that your spirit would resonate in them, that they would lead with holiness and honor and glory, that they would seek your kingdom here, whether it be our president, our vice president, all the way down to our local leaders. I pray, Lord, for the lost in our area, that we have, that we come in contact with on a day in and day out basis, that we would be burdened for their souls. I pray, Lord, that you would put in a fire in us, that we would want to share the gospel with the lost, that our hearts would be burdened because we don't want them to be separated from you for all eternity. We want them to be united with Christ. We know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father but through you, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that we would be proclaiming the good news, that we would share the good news in deed and action and in words to a community that desperately needs you, Father. Help us to really fulfill our calling is to be a healthy church and a blessed community. Use this church in a mighty way to impact our community for Christ. And may that be our drive this coming year. Amen.
Whether it's here in our own community, across our state or our nation, or even around the world, we've been called to share the light of Christ, and we want to sing these next couple of songs to remind us of that. I want to read these words to you from the Getty's song, May the Peoples Praise You. We're going to start with this song in just a minute. It says, you have called us out of darkest night into your glorious light, that we may sing the wonders of the risen Christ. May our every breath retell the grace that broke into our strife, with boundless love and deepest joy, with endless life. And the chorus says, may the peoples praise you, let the nations be glad. All your blessings come that we may praise the name of Jesus.
Good morning. So I have the privilege this morning of praying for our missionaries. I have a verse here, 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. And Paul often in his letters would request prayer for himself and other missionaries as they're out. We have the opportunity every week. We have a prayer request list for our church. And on the back is all the missionaries that we support. And what a great way to honor the Lord. Let's go and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, it's been a beautiful service of praise and worship. We want to lift up this morning, Lord, our missionaries. We thank you, Lord, that you have given a heart for missions to your church here at Whitneyville. Lord, we have a wide range of missionaries. Lord, for such a small church, we're making an impact for you because of your blessing. Father, we have local missions. We think of Alpha. We think of our camps, Lord, here in the state. We have others that travel the states with Sheldon and Vicky Rhodes. We have some in Alaska, Lord. Lord, we have missionaries overseas that are touching the hearts of many as well. And Father, we just lift them to you and pray, Lord, that if they're going through hard times or they're in need of something, that we notice their prayer letters and we pray for them, Lord, and lift them up to you. We pray, Father, that we would continue to support them financially as well, that we would send notes and cards, Lord, that lets them know that we're thinking of them as they're far away from family, but they're there to bring your name to many. Father, we think of the children's homes, Lord, that we support, the orphanage in Kenya and the Baptist children's home here, Lord. Lord, we think of those kids and we just pray, Lord, that they're hearing your word, that they have the food, the clothing, the beds that they need, Lord, that you are supporting them. We're thankful, Lord, that you're using us to be a part of that. We thank you, Father, for those that are willing to go and give. We ask, Father, that we would continue to be a sending church. We ask, Lord Jesus, that your hand would be with us, that you would open our eyes and hearts to you. Father, we think of the verse in Romans 10:15. Lord, it says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach. And Lord, we ask that we continue to support this financially, in prayer, and in any other way that we are able to help. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. And in your name we pray. Amen.
Lord, we remember the Muse family, Nathan and Kristen, in Australia. We think of those that they've witnessed to and those that are attending their church and have shown an interest in the gospel, and they've shared the gospel with them, but they would love to see them come to know you as Savior. Lord, we just pray that you'd finish drawing them so that they come to know you as Savior. We thank you for taking care of them with the wildfires and the smoke and all that's gone on in their town. And we thank you, Lord, for giving them their health back again that they struggled with for a month and that they're feeling better now. Lord, they are looking for the holiday time to be a time of relaxation and to recoup their strength again. We pray, Lord, that you'd grant them that. Pray that you'd continue to give him opportunity to witness and to write and to encourage others and to seek the lost there. Pray for the Overbeeks in Kodiak. We just ask, Lord, that you would be with Mark as he leads the Frontier Baptist Church and preaches and also helps with the Kodiak outreach and different churches that gather together and seek to see the island come to know you as Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the time Josiah could be home for Christmas and be with him as he goes back to college now and help him with his studies and being a long way from home and young. We just pray, Lord, for him. Pray for the girls as Heather homeschools them too. We pray, Lord, for their teaching and their instruction. We just thank you for that family. Watch over them and care for them. Lord, we think of Vicki Wilson too in Jordan. And although we're not, she's not a supported missionary of ours, we know her and her family. And we pray, Lord, that as she ministers to refugees, that you would give her the words to say and the opportunities to witness for Christ. These people are homeless and come to Jordan to escape persecution and bad times. And we pray, Lord, that you would help her as she visits these people and is friendly to them and give her the opportunity to share Christ. We pray for Kayla, who's going back after the holidays to work with her, and she'll be there a month. We just ask that you would use her in the service that she's got to minister there to those people too. Thank you, Lord, for our mission committee and the work that they do and taking care of our missionaries. We just pray, Lord, that you would give them strength and encourage them as they seek to help our missionaries and take care of them and pray for them and also to encourage them by writing to them too. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Lord, thank you for the opportunity you've given me and our fellow church parishioners to travel across the broad, around the world to serve you in missions. I pray that we're able to continue to do so, and you'll continue to guide me and our fellow teammates in serving and doing your will. I pray for the missionaries that they're able to continue their work and they're able to bring the message that they need to their people. In your name, amen.
Pray for our missionaries for unity, just as we prayed for unity amongst ourselves. We pray for unity amongst one another there where they are serving. Pray for unity with their co-workers, whether they be nationals or missionaries from other countries. And I pray too, Lord, for this time of year where it might be a difficult time. I can remember a couple sharing with me their first Christmas with their kids in the States and they being in Papua New Guinea and how hard it was to open presents because they missed their kids. And so, Lord, I pray for our missionaries who are separated from their children or grandchildren. And I pray during this time of year that you would encourage their hearts, that they would sense your peace, and that they would be able to focus on their task at hand. We thank you for all that serve, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Holy Father, we thank you that you are both holy and our Father at once. You are distinct and so much higher and greater than anything we could even comprehend. And yet at the same moment you bring yourself near to us as a loving Father, despite everything that we are and all because of who you are. Pray that we would live in light of what you have done and who you are, not just for the world at large, but for us individually, as you came to save, yes, the world, but also us. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for coming and dying as me so I didn't have to. Pray that you would help us to truly believe the things that we understand about you, and that we would truly understand the things that we believe. Thank you for sending your Son to reveal yourself, the glorious grace of your gospel that brings salvation. It's appeared to all men. Here, first and foremost, we can declare and testify that it has appeared to us. And we pray that we would fully comprehend that you, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has shown that light to bring knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, who we behold and we reflect, not only to each other, but to our brothers and sisters serving around the world, that we would glorify you and magnify their ministry and show just to the lost and hurting world how much we love one another, that all may know that we are your disciples. Pray that we would live in light of this. Help us to lovingly worship you and worshipfully love you. Pray this in your name.
Heavenly Father, I pray for missionaries all throughout the world for their safety. There are many who are in dangerous locations where they can physically lose their life for sharing the gospel. Protect them and their families, Lord. Put a hedge of protection. Guide them. Definitely deliver them from the evil one. I pray for the missionaries here locally, especially those like Alpha Women's Center and the Men's Center. Lord, may they continue to have an impact for Christ and those with those individuals who desperately need help with the unborn. I pray, Lord, for just that our hearts, just be with the missionaries and the spread of the gospel. May 2020 be a year that the gospel is proclaimed loud and clearly around the world through your servants. The missionaries are in there. And I must pray for the Dietz family as they embark on their missionary journey next year, that you would provide for them, that you would help them in the raise of support, that you would use him mightily to train up leaders around the world, and that you would use him to help your church wherever it may be, Uganda, Kenya, Cuba, Vietnam, or in America. Lord, use that family to train up leaders in your for your kingdom. In this we pray, amen. As we look to conclude today's service, we will conclude it in prayers of in our way of worshiping God through giving. I've asked Ed to come up and lead us in prayer for that. And so, Ed.
Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us to have a special time of prayer and praying for those of us here and around the world and our leaders. We thank you, Lord, for meeting our needs and your provision to us. We thank you for this past year of blessings that you've given to us. And although we have different economic stances and some have much and some have little, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would be faithful in our giving. We thank you for what you've
done for us and given to us. You are a great God. You treat us really well. We thank you for the blessings that we have in living here in this country, the freedoms that we have. We pray, Lord, that our giving would be from our heart, that we wouldn't feel grudgingly in giving, but that we would give toward the mission that we all have here as we join together, shoulder to shoulder, in serving you. We think, Lord, of the lost in this area and how we need to reach them in this community. And we can do that through the way that you provide for us. Thank you for this offering today. We pray, Lord, that it would be sufficient to meet our needs. You would bless those, Lord, who give and those who can't give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all for participating in our prayer service. As we lead into a next year, 2020, let us conclude in prayer for the coming year, if you would bow your heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I would pray that we would fulfill your commission in 2020, that what you have for each of us individually and corporately that we would fulfill, and that you would give us the ability, the resources to do that. I pray, Lord, that our lives would be dominated by Christ and his Spirit as we go into the new year. Be with us, Lord, and may our eyes always be on you as the King. Be with us, Lord, we pray. Amen.